There is a war of philosophy, of politics, of what defines morality being fought daily in the media, judicial benches, and legislative halls across this country. Issues include separation of church and state, euthanasia, abortion, gay rights, whether one nation under God should stay in the Pledge of Allegiance, or in God we trust remain inscribed on U.S. currency. These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
On one side stands fundamentalist Protestantism and conservative Catholicism, and on the other side, the adherents of secular humanism. The religious right claims that humanism is dragging the U.S. into an abyss of crime and relativism. Secular humanists point to incidents like the pedophile priest scandal rocking the Catholic Church to trumpet that Christianity has failed to produce a moral and safe society. Many Americans find themselves in the middle, accepting some traditional religious ideas while embracing many secular concepts. Just what is secular humanism, and what is its effects on the culture and development of the United States? In 1933, a small group of predominantly ministers issued the Humanist Manifesto. They saw this statement of 15 beliefs as concepts deeply rooted in democratic ideals. The document begins with assertions that progress in scientific knowledge has necessitated a radical change in the way humanity defines religion. The first statement of humanism is, quote, "Religious humanists regard the universe as self-existing and not created," unquote. The cornerstone of the Humanist Manifesto is the belief that the universe is the result of mindless evolution. Over the next decades, secular humanism continued to influence the philosophical and religious thought of many in the field of higher education. Humanism blossomed in the cultural experimentation of the 1960s. In 1973, the Humanist Manifesto II was published, which greatly broadened the humanistic philosophy and political intent and practice. The manifesto section on religion includes the statement, quote, "But we can discover no divine purpose or providence for the human species." It goes on to claim, "Promises of immortal salvation or fear of eternal damnation are both illusions and harmful." The document confirms the humanist tenet that human beings are simply a biological result of evolution. The section on ethics denies any divine authoritative code of behavior. This is specifically espoused in human sexuality. The manifesto states, quote, "We believe that intolerant attitudes often cultivated by orthodox religious and puritanical cultures unduly repress sexual conduct. The right to birth control, abortion, and divorce should be recognized. It also promotes, short of harming others or compelling them to do likewise, individuals should be permitted to express their sexual proclivities and pursue their lifestyles as they desire." The document explicitly supports euthanasia and politically supports a world community without national boundaries. Since 1933, many secular humanist ideas have filtered into mainstream culture. In fact, millions of Americans are abandoning Christianity altogether and embracing secularism. The American Religious Identification Survey, published in 2001, found that 29.4 million American adults, or more than 14%, claim to have no religious affiliation. Humanists point out that this increase in acceptance of secularism exposes the failure of Christianity to fulfill people's fundamental needs. It's strange that a central argument in the political hoopla from both the religious right and the secular humanist is that their positions are the original intent of the founding fathers of the United States. There's no doubt that the individuals instrumental in the creation of the United States Constitution were men who believed in a supreme being. The American colonies were strongly steeped in European Christianity. Many original colonists came to the New World to flee religious persecution, the Puritans of New England, Quakers of Pennsylvania, Catholics of Maryland. This colonial religious diversity didn't produce universal religious tolerance. A colony could establish an official religion, and the clergy of that particular denomination maintained their offices through state-sponsored taxation. The framers of the Constitution envisioned a nation where people were free to practice their own religion and where the government couldn't establish a state religion. It is historical revisionism to claim that the founders were anti-God. It is also revisionist to claim that they were uniformly fundamentalist Christians. Thomas Jefferson claimed that the miracles of the Bible were myths and that it was a perversion of Christianity to proclaim that Jesus was the Son of God brought into this world by a virgin birth. Thomas Paine, the writer of Common Sense, the pamphlet that possibly more than any other writings inspired the American Revolution, also denied the divinity and resurrection of Jesus Christ and wanted to abolish all traditional religion. Thomas Jefferson, Thomas Paine, Ethan Allen were influenced by deism, the philosophy that God created humanity and a universe governed by immutable laws, but that the Bible was a compilation of good moral teachings along with much myth and evil teachings. God was to be discovered in nature, not in miracles or divine revelation that defy reason. Throughout the 1800s, scientific discovery claimed to discount biblical accuracy. Evolution became the humanist answer to creation. The religious beliefs of deism and the humanism of the 18th century evolved into modern secular humanism. How much has humanism molded the culture of the United States? How much has it affected you? We'll be back with more on secular humanism right after this.
No question is more far-reaching than this. Does God exist? If there is no God, life has no purpose. There's no future beyond the grave. But if there is a creator, that changes everything. Can we know for sure? Request this free booklet to discover the truth. It's titled, Life's Ultimate Question, Does God Exist? Call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Welcome back to Good News Radio. Our guest today is Robert Dick, a pastor in the United Church of God. He joins us on a telephone hookup from Portland, Oregon. Bob, this is your first time on Good News Radio, and we're happy to have you with us.
Gary, it's a pleasure to be on the program and to have the opportunity to participate in today's discussion.
I know you've studied and written about secular humanism. How much influence has this philosophy had on American society?
You know, it's literally easier to ask where hasn't it had an influence on our society than to ask where has it. Secular humanism could arguably be called the religion of the 21st century. Its strongest appeal is that it disregards many absolutes and recognizes no higher power to which we're accountable. As you can well understand, this is heady stuff. Secular humanism's God is human reason, and the innate wisdom of man is its savior. You asked specifically, though, how much influence it has had on the American society. And I think that depends. As long as we feel secure in our own wisdom and ability and everything is going well, this particular philosophy can and will have both a growing and possibly even dominating influence on our culture. As all of us know, a year ago, following the terrorist attacks on New York City and Washington, D.C., we saw a brief sobering of Americans and a realization that we're not indomitable. Churches filled for the next 2 months, the name of God could be mentioned, and his blessing upon our land was requested without shame. What it really comes down to is when our sense of security and our belief in ourselves is strong, we have a tendency to trust in and rely on ourselves. When we're in doubt, when we face trouble, we're inclined to be more sobered and inclined to petition God.
Maybe you could reiterate just some of the basic tenets of humanism.
Humanism has gone through three phases in America. As you mentioned earlier in the program, it began with the Humanist Manifesto in 1933, and that was followed by the Humanist Manifesto of 1973, But most recently, the official statement for humanism is titled The Secular Humanist Declaration, and that was printed in 1980. The Secular Humanist Declaration has 10 tenets, and I can give you a sampling of the tenets.
Yeah, we would appreciate that.
The first tenet of the Secular Humanist Declaration is entitled Free Inquiry. It says the first principle of democratic secular humanism is its commitment to free inquiry. We oppose any tyranny over the mind of man, any effort for ecclesiastical, political, ideological, or social institutions to shackle free thought. In the past, such tyrannies have been directed by churches and states attempting to enforce the edicts of religious bigots. Its second tenet is separation of church and state. Among the thoughts there are these: clerical authority should not be permitted to legislate their own parochial views, whether moral, philosophical, political, educational, or social, for the rest of society. The ideal of freedom is the third of the concepts. And some of these I'll skip because there are 10 and it would take quite some time to go through all 10. The fourth is ethics based on critical intelligence. This one gives us insight into secular humanism's reasoning. It says the secular humanist recognizes the central role of morality in human life. Indeed, ethics was developed as a branch of human knowledge long before religionists proclaimed their moral systems based upon divine authority. So it does believe in morality, but it believes in its own morality, whatever the situation calls for and whatever the situation dictates. It does advocate for moral education, but moral education on the basis that we just described. It espouses religious skepticism. It says it's skeptical of the supernatural. Interestingly, secular humanism says that it recognizes the importance of religious experience, that experience that redirects and gives meaning to the lives of human beings. Conversely, it says, we deny, however, that such experiences have anything to do with the supernatural. We're doubtful of traditional views of God and divinity. The seventh tenet deals with reason. They believe the statement is that we believe there's no better way to come to understanding than through human reasoning. The eighth deals with science and technology. The ninth with evolution. The tenth with education. The conclusion to the declaration simply states that secular humanism places trust in human intelligence rather than in divine guidance.
Now, it's interesting you said that the 10th point was education. How much of the educational system of the United States has been influenced by secular humanism?
The secular humanist organization maintains its own website, secularhumanism.org. If you brought up the website and downloaded the Secular Humanist Declaration from their website, you would find that it contains the names of those who endorsed the declaration. This was in 1980. By country. Of the 36 listed individuals who endorsed the declaration from the United States, 22 identified themselves as either professor or professor emeritus. Among the universities they represented are some of the most renowned institutions in the United States: Columbia, Harvard, UCLA, Yale, Princeton, University of Minnesota, and University of Virginia, just to name a part of the universities represented by the professors who had signed the document. I think all of us are aware in the field of education that our primary and secondary schools depend on the universities to train their teachers and university professors to write their textbooks. I think for most of our listeners, that would answer the question of influence. When the university seems to be the dominant location for secular humanist thought, and from those universities come our secondary and primary teachers and also our textbooks, the thought is quite prevailing. If you took a copy of the Secular Humanist Declaration and a copy of your children's, or any of your children's social science books, for instance, and you took the time to read the declaration and then the textbook, I think the influence would be quite obvious.
How is secular humanism portrayed in the media?
If you'd like to see secular humanist thought in the entertainment media, I would say the simplest way to do so is to tune in on any of the space exploration science fiction programs. It is always fascinating to watch the constant and reoccurring theme, no matter which science fiction program, which television episode, because no matter how deep in space, no matter how many threatening species are encountered, the human spirit always prevails. the wisdom, the understanding, the intelligence of the human crew always wins out in the end. This kind of show is simply a medium for delivering humanist reasoning. Fundamentally, humanism is that mankind, by his own reasoning, can eventually come to the solutions to all of the great problems of humanism. I was reading a post on the American Humanists website, and in that particular post, it was interesting to see that thought captured. The thought, as the paper began, read as follows: "The next century can be and should be the humanist century. Dramatic scientific, technological, and ever-accelerating social and political changes crowd our awareness. We have virtually conquered the planet, explored the moon, overcome the natural limits of travel and communication. We stand at the dawn of a new age, ready to move farther into space and perhaps inhabit other planets." You know, the very wording sounds almost like the introduction to one of the more popular television science fiction shows.
The influences of secular humanism on Christians can be subtle. Obviously, we've talked about the education system. We've talked about it in the media. And especially in a democracy where freedom of choice is the most important personal right, what can Christians do to be aware of influences of this philosophy?
Well, Gary, I think the most critical issue is really the most simple issue. You can't be aware of something you don't know. You can hear the phrase humanism, you can hear the phrase secular humanism, but if you haven't taken the time to sit down and ask not someone about secular humanism, but to ask the secular humanist what he believes, you don't have a foundation in place. I would say for a Christian, he should take time to familiarize himself with the secular humanist position. And really, that isn't that difficult to do. You'll find very quickly that the secular humanist has a missionary zeal to spread their religion of non-religion. All you have to do is go online. You can go to secularhumanism.org. You can go to a search engine and type in the word secular humanism, and you'll probably find an endless number of sites. But I would visit Secular Humanism's site. I'd download a copy of a secular humanist declaration, and I would read it very carefully. Once you've read the declaration, do what I recommended earlier. Sit down and watch a science fiction TV show. This time, though, not for entertainment, but for the sake of self-education. Look at the morality, or I guess in many cases we'd say the lack of morality, and the attitude toward morality in the average sitcom as you walk through the secular humanist declaration. Consider the absence of any absolute authority to which to appeal in the endless stream of talk shows, and how it appears that everyone's thinking is as valid as anyone else's thinking on those same shows. And then, as I mentioned earlier, have one of your children bring home any social science textbook. Take the time to read it. All of these can make a person much more aware of the influences of secular humanism upon our society.
Well, Bob, thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us today on Good News Radio.
Well, you're most welcome, Gary. It was a pleasure to spend the time with you and with your radio audience.
We'll be back for more about this important subject right after this.
No question is more far-reaching than this. Does God exist? If there is no God, life has no purpose. There's no future beyond the grave. But if there is a creator, that changes everything. Can we know for sure? Request this free booklet to discover the truth. It's titled Life's Ultimate Question, Does God Exist? Call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232.
Today on Good News Radio, we've been discussing the effects of secular humanism on our society. It is vital to understand that there are basic untruths at the heart of secular humanism. These lies are increasingly becoming accepted wisdom in the postmodern pluralistic culture of the United States. It is important that Christians identify these lies and see them for what they are. One basic lie of secular humanism is that mankind is an accident of nature and there is no plan of salvation. The results of this belief is the propagation of evolution, support of abortion and euthanasia, and disdain for organized religion. The societal consequences include the put down of any individual who claims to have a relationship with God, an attempt to remove God from public schools, lack of purpose for humanity, and no hope in a future after this life. A second lie is the belief that all religions are equal. Not all humanists are atheists. Some Unitarians are humanists and believe in some form of supreme being. But in the humanistic model, the Bible becomes just another book, containing many ethical ideas, but also filled with myths and even promoting evil. The result of this belief is that ethics and morality become a hodgepodge of conflicting teachings and superstitions. This is a paradox, since secular humanism strives to free people from miracles, angels, or the Bible, claiming that they are superstitions. The societal consequences are the degradation of the Bible while accepting and propagating any form of non-Christian belief. Institutions like lifelong marriage become personal choices on the same par as purchasing a new car. Homosexuality and divorce become acceptable as long as no one is hurt. A third lie of humanism is that each person is his or her own ultimate authority. The results of each person becoming his or her own ultimate authority is situation ethics, license to throw off any societal restraints, and an attitude of rebellion against all authority. Societal consequences, venereal disease, AIDS, mental illness, broken families, poverty, crime, war, the very ills humanists claim to want to change. In Romans 1, verses 18 through 32, the Apostle Paul confronts the idolatry of the Roman world of the first century. He writes, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their own thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Paul says that the creation itself reveals the Creator, so that idolatry becomes senseless and futile. The same argument exposes secular humanism, which claims to be based on reasoning. Darwinism, the foundational concept of early 20th century humanism, has been rejected as scientifically unprovable by a large number of scientists. The design and complexity of nature proves the intelligence of a designer. Yet, secular humanists refuse to explore the possibility that their theories are flawed. Paul continues in verse 22, "Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worship and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." The superstitious people of ancient Rome believed in a myriad of gods and goddesses while denying the Creator. Paul says that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Now, humanists don't worship idols of wood and stone. Instead, they tried to substitute the worship of the Creator God with the worship of human beings. In secular humanism, every person is his or her own God. Ironically, the consequences of secular humanism in society isn't any different than the idolatry of Rome. Sexual immorality, lack of love and mercy, violence, destruction of family, and hatred of God. Only 34 men signed the original humanistic manifesto, but a look at the names is revealing. One signer was John Dewey, founder and first president of the American Association of University Professors, and one of the most influential men in reforming the public educational system in the late 1800s and early 1900s. Under the influence of Dewey and others, the public school systems went through dramatic changes. Science replaced religion as the foundation of education. Human reasoning replaced the belief that the Bible is the guiding truth of the Creator. Secular humanists are correct when they claim that historical Christianity has failed to produce a utopian society. The problems with Christianity are the same as with humanism, human nature. When the Bible is studied, it becomes clear that the Christianity taught by Jesus has evolved into a religion he would have difficulty recognizing. Until human beings are willing to submit to the Creator and the way of life he has designed, we will continue to repeat the same tragic mistakes. The Bible reveals that God is sending Jesus Christ to this earth to establish his kingdom. When Christ returns, modern Christianity, Hinduism, Islam, Buddhism, and secular humanism will all cease to exist, and people will submit to his authority. The results will be peace, happiness, and the security that all people desire. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
No question is more far-reaching than this. Does God exist? If there is no God, life has no purpose. There's no future beyond the grave. But if there is a creator, that changes everything. Can we know for sure? Request this free booklet to discover the truth. It's titled, Life's Ultimate Question, Does God Exist? Call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.